All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lendin.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Providing up-to-the-minute information.
The absence of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only...
On interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
And now, here's five, your host of Lickin' on Lending.
3, 2.
David Lickin.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Love your feedback on that opening segment there. That's the intro to the show. Andy Alvey did a great job producing that. Love his innovativeness. He does such a great job with all that. So it's good to have you with us, everybody. Excited to have you on the program. We are looking forward to talking mortgage, everything related to it. But this morning, we woke up to some sad news. October 2nd, sad to wake up yet again to another news story. And we're sad and sickened and shocked by the senseless attack on Americans in Las Vegas. I'm talking about the shooting. I'm sure most of you have heard about it. It's just unconscionable what happens there and what would possess someone to do that. Whatever it is, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and their families, as well as those who are impacted by this horrific event. And I want to say we'll be forever grateful for first responders who rush into the face of danger, slaughter, hell, just the stuff that's going on, the kind of madness. They walk right into the middle of it. We're so grateful to our first responders for all that they do to keep us safe. I would recommend you to go back and listen to the podcast we did over Labor Day, where Jeff Sellers, who is a first responder, has been in the security business, has done so many things. He's one of TMS's Transformational Mortgage Solutions senior consultants in the area of safety and disaster planning and all these different scenarios like this. He did a presentation on that over Labor Day. It's interesting to me that it's one of the most downloaded podcasts we've had in recent months, or even this last year. It's really extraordinary. So it's on the mind of everybody. So I call your attention to that in light of this ridiculous event, this sad, sickening event in Las Vegas. I think it's important that each one of us have a plan for our families, have a plan for our businesses when we're all together at events. Be thinking about this. I'll never forget when I was traveling with Andy Schell one time. Andy and I, there was horrific weather. We were in Atlanta, and his first responder mentality jumped in. He says, "Dave, I've got us a hotel. I've got my wife working on this." And he was just bouncing around. He took response because he thought about it. I was going, "Oh my gosh, the planes are shut down. Oh my gosh." And I was doing one of those OMG kind of moments. And he jumped in because he thought like that. So I tell you, you need to think about this. You need to look at it. It's unfortunately a sick reality of our world today, folks. And I encourage you to listen to Jeff Sellers' podcast. And whether it be hurricanes, disasters, whatever's going on, have a plan for your life personally, how to stay in touch with your family and friends, and how to connect. Again, we start off on that sad note. Our thoughts and prayers go out to all the victims and their families who are impacted by this. The whole crowd there, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone there. In Las Vegas, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage and real estate professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We're most honored. We've been honored by, we've given some great awards. We're grateful for that. But the best reward we can have is that you, our listeners, take time to listen to us and share it. It's amazing to me how this podcast and the audience of this podcast continues to grow. Special thank you goes out to one of our listeners been there all along, Kim Schubert with Freddie Mac, one of the many who's out there talking up the program. We appreciate you, Kim Schubert. You do a great job in serving our industry, and you're presently at Freddie Mac. So look forward to having future conversations with some of the folks at Freddie Mac about the radio podcast. Today's hot topic, we're going to be talking with Alan Pollack today. Alan is the Chief Technology Officer, has been for years. He's one of the most innovative guys out there. He and I both have been interviewing people that attended last week's Source Media Digital Conference in San Francisco is a really interesting conference. A lot of developments are happening ever since Quicken Mortgage launched the Rocket Mortgage app and all of the things connected around technology. And certainly that was one thing that brought the attention to technology. We're doing everything on a mobile basis, on a digital basis. We're seeing more and more proliferation of this. And that conference was well attended. So Alan and I have been interviewing people that have been going there. Alan has just spent an immense amount of time on it. We're going to be hearing a lot from Alan. He's going to become a part of this podcast each and every week with a segment, as well as we're going to do our own podcast on technology separate from this one. So yeah, podcasts are a thing, and we're going to continue to expand them. All of this is made possible by our sponsors. I want to start off by saying a big thank you to ArchMI. Jim Jump and the team there at ArchMI have done a great job of championing us. Jim started way back, he and Kim Schubert started when they were at PMI Mortgage, if you remember those old days, and were one of the first advertisers to come on board. We're grateful to Jim and, of course, Kim back when she was there with them at PMI. But they have an innovative RACEstar program we're going to talk about a little bit later in the program. Also, Motivity Solutions, which is now part of the Black Knight family. Motivity Solutions has their real-time reporting and dashboard scorecards. Very exciting what you can do to run your business knowing where you're heading. Like Nandy Shell and I talk, I do a lot of speaking together. We talk about flying. When you use your dashboard, you have this called instrument rated. We need instrument rated because there's some clouds out there, and Motivity Solutions does a great job of providing real-time reporting, dashboard, and scorecards. A little more on that later. Velma, it's a very efficient email marketing platform, getting your word out about to your community. We're grateful for their sponsorship and for their help to get you notified of all the programs that are coming up. Simplifile, a real-time electronic communication. Nancy Alley and her team do a great job exchanging information between closing agents and your company. Be sure to check out Simplifile by going to simplifile.com. And, of course, the Mortgage Collaborative, Richard Zerbinski and the team there, David Kittle, John Robbins, Gary Acosta, Joe, Jim Parks, everybody does a great job of really helping bring together industry leaders into a small, intimate event. And we call it the Power of the Network, the Mortgage Collaborative. Glad to be here with them and in the network. Also, we have Finastra, which is a combination of MySys and the merger. We're going to talk about this and the mergers that are going on in the marketplace. This is a merger between MySys and D&H. They're now the third largest fintech company in the world. Someone says, what's a fintech company? Well, it's kind of like a mortgage tech. Mortgage tech is below fintech. Alan and I will be breaking that down for you a little bit later in the podcast. But anyway, it's so good to have our sponsors. And I want to say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Joe, of course, and Sam for all they do to contribute to this program. So we are pleased to have a partnership with the MBA. They do a great job of what's going on. We've got the upcoming conference. But at this moment, I want to go over to Rob Van Horst and get the MBA's Mortgage Minute. So here's Rob.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport, and welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. This week, Republican leaders released a new tax plan, highlights of the Unified Tax Reform Framework, a proposal that includes broad reforms that could have significant impacts on individuals and businesses. MBA will be sure to update you as the discussion around taxes progresses in Washington. Also this week, MBA's weekly application surveys showed that mortgage applications decreased 0.5% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 4.11%. MBA is looking forward to an event coming up, Empower You, MBA's Summit for Women in Real Estate Finance, October 21st in Denver, Colorado. Also, we are looking forward to the MBA Annual Convention and Expo, October 22nd through the 25th in Denver, Colorado. Be sure to join us then. That's it for this week's Mortgage Minute.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate that. Really grateful for the MBA and the partnership we have. Appreciate them so much. Also, we have on November 1st through the 3rd, 2017, the Risk and Compliance Summit put on by Compliancees. I'll be moderating a panel with Don Lamp, which I'm very excited to have Don be on the program here in the first week in November, talking about compliance as it relates to social media marketing and social media strategy. So you're not going to want to say you listen to that podcast. Don Lamp and I were speaking together there at the Compliances event there in San Francisco. Get signed up. Google it. Compliances Risk and Compliance Summit. Also, November 15th and 16th, I'll be the keynote speaker at EMGIC's Focus event in Nashville. Lots of things going on in the industry, and we'll be sharing more. Be sure to head over to our website, Liquid on Lending, and you'll be able to see more what's going on, as well as Sam Garcia's website. It's got great every conference known to man there that Sam has published. So big thank you to everyone. Let's get over to listen to Les Parker. He gives us a music parody and an update on what is going on a macro finance basis and the macro look at the markets. And then we're going to head over to Joe Farr.
LoanLogic sponsors Market Logics Live.
Don't speak. We know just what's confusing. So please stop explaining. Don't tell us because it hurts.
Think about the contradictory economic messages. Inflation is up in many countries while some are down. GDP persistently stays below 3% in advanced economies, while some emerging markets are soaring. Even labor shortages barely move wages. Janet Yellen speaks about how the Fed is dumbfounded. So confusion lives in the midst of low volatility and high uncertainty. Mortgages are going nowhere. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Thank you, LoanLogic, for putting together. Gary Kentrebone puts that together, does that. Les does a recording, obviously, and then Gary puts together the work. So thanks for the folks there at LoanLogic. Joe Farr, I know you say it's hard act to follow, but you got such great content, and I'm in your website right now looking at the markets, getting a little insights on that. And I'm really interested in your take about Trump talking to who's the guy he's talking to? I lost my note on it. I had it up here on the screen. I must have closed it. Possible replacement to Janet Yellen when she's out. So we'll see what happens with all that.
Gorsh or something like that.
Yeah, Gorsh or something like that. Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah.
That's not quite right. Yeah, it did cause a little stir in the market last week. Not much of one, though, in that this particular guy is known to be an advocate for pro-growth, and in that by keeping rates low and by promoting growth and also, you know, concern about inflation that would go along with that. So it's kind of a mixed message from the guy. Low rates affected higher inflation, but we'll see. So today, strong data came out today. ISM services was very strong. That's ISM services came, no, manufacturing. ISM manufacturing came in at the best level it's been since 2004. Prices paid component of the ISM was the highest it's been in 6 years. And that's sort of an inflation indicator. So despite that and despite construction spending coming in a little better than expected, MBS prices remained positive all day, although not by much. We're just up 1/32nd now, down from 4/32nd earlier in the day, but still positive on that data. So it was good to see. Last week, kind of go chronologically last week, we started off on a good note in that, well, for bad reason, but North Korea stated they interpreted Trump's comment during the weekend earlier of as a declaration of war. And as you might think, that got the market's attention and caused a bit of a shift to safer assets like mortgage-backed securities. So mortgage rates improved on Monday as a result of that. But then on Wednesday, apparent progress on tax reform caused a shift in the opposite direction, in that it not only is pro-growth, but it also calls for deficit spending of about $1.5 trillion over a period of time, both of which are not good for mortgage rates. Increased spending increases inflation, and the added supply of debt just makes it that much tougher on long-term debt like MBS and mortgage-backed securities. So the economic data that came out last week, it didn't do much to the market. The housing data was weaker than expected. Durable orders were better than expected. Second quarter GDP improved just a little bit. The big surprise came from core PCE, which declined again.
Yeah.
Looking at that chart is pretty amazing. Since January was the last month we saw an increase in core PCE, and since then it's either been flat or down. In January, it was 1.8%. In August, it was 1.3%. So that trend has to weigh in somewhat on the Fed as they're looking at what they might do going forward. This week, the ISM services comes out on Wednesday, along with ADP payrolls. Then the non-farm payrolls comes out on Friday. This is odd, Dave. The consensus calls for only 85,000 in net new jobs, but with the hurricane and the effect it has had on jobs, there is a wide margin of expectations. And whatever the number comes out being, it's going to be difficult to put a lot of emphasis on it just because it's so hard to determine the temporary effects that the hurricanes might have on that number. So don't be surprised if it's a much bigger number. Don't be surprised if it's a smaller number. The consensus at 85,000 would be a significant drop from prior months. So still good to pay attention. Also, as part of that release, we'll see unemployment. It's expected to hold steady, and wage inflation is expected to rise a tenth. So we'll see what happens there. And then next this week, we have a lot of Fed speakers. Every day, they're Fed speakers. Janet Yellen has a speech on Wednesday. Something to pay attention to.
Very interesting. Lots of information. Great website. I encourage people to check it out, mbsquoteline.com, and you can get a free subscription if you haven't. Not free forever, free trial. Better be careful on
right.
that. Don't want to give this thing away there. But it's a great service and do a great job. By the way, Dave Crudinelli, a good friend of mine, just texted me. It's Kevin Warsh, W-A-R-S-H.
Warsh. Okay.
Warsh. We got that right. Thank you for our listeners. It's great when our listeners, if Dave is a great friend, someone I've known for decades out there in Southern California, he's listening in. And so, David, thank you so much. It's great when our listeners help us get it right. But Warsh is the guy. So we'll see what happens with that. Lots of good stuff. Again, check out the website, mbsquoteline.com. Listeners, if you haven't already signed up to get your trial subscription, do so. Get a hold of Joe, and you can call him at 512-637-1763 or joe.bar at mbsquoteline.com. Joe, thank you so much. Really do appreciate it, friend. You bet. We'll be right back after this brief word from one of our sponsors, Velma, and then on to the TMC. We'll be back with our beloved Alice Alvey with a legislative update.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
And we thank our friends there at Velma for their sending out the emails each and every week about us, and we'll be doing more of that. Encourage you to connect with them. Also, we're proud to be a members of TMC, or the Mortgage Collaborative.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Good afternoon with us, everybody. Again, this is the October 2nd podcast. I realize I didn't give that date at the beginning. Maybe I did. I don't remember if I did. Anyway, we heard from several of you saying that there is some digitizing going on. Apologize for that. We're trying to figure out why that is. But I have my voice, and so figure that out. Joy of technology. This whole thing's a miracle. Podcasting is just a miracle how it all works. So we'll be working on that. Let's go to Alice Alvey, Master CMB, Certified Mortgage Banker, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Our good friend Bill Cosgrove. Here she is with a legislative update. Alice, good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everyone. So two main points today to cover. First of all, is heard in the news quite a bit about the Equifax breach. And as more information comes out, there are a lot of lessons in here for lenders to pay attention. So the CEO was informed of suspicious activity 2 days after the CIO's department saw it. So when you're talking about testing your own internal procedures, you should look at response times by the tech team. So, you know, a lot of times we have phishing testing, right? Your IT team will send out a fake email, and you're supposed to make sure you catch that it's fake and you don't click on it. And if you did click on it, you would get, you know, a message from your IT department that you've just failed their test. So That's great. Everybody should have that step in place. And of course, we do here at Union Home. But the next piece to make sure of is you're testing all of your response times within the organization, because not only did it take 2 days for the department to notify the CEO, it took another 16 days for them to notify the CEO that personal identifiable information was involved. So there's a lot of lessons in this from a procedural standpoint to make sure everybody's in compliance and, A, you don't become a victim, because there's nothing worse than what's happening to Equifax right now, let alone the consumer, because that literally can put a mortgage company out of business if that were to happen to you. So just a heads up there. We're still hearing of wire fraud incidents where phishing schemes are tricking borrowers into wiring money to an unknown place, the borrower's getting an email to change the wire instructions just prior to closing. The example we heard of last week was $136,000 of the borrower's money gone, because, you know, smart people still get fooled by this and they're not able to close on their loan and their money is gone. And of course, the trickle down and devastating to that, you know, those individuals personally is not recoverable. So just lenders need to be reminding their borrowers about these risks. And we also need to make sure we're testing our internal systems to make sure that we're staying on top of it, for that we're reporting these things if things do get through. So that was item number one.
If I jump in there real quickly, Alice, I would encourage every one of our listeners to go to the September 18th podcast, where we had Scott Ajaban come in, and he did a great job. He's, again, with the FBI. He talked about this, and while he was talking, another incident came into the Bureau, if I understood correctly, of him. It is epidemic what's going on with this phishing schemes, and we've got to train. And I know you're training your people there, and maybe it would be good to just talk briefly what you are doing to be proactively nailing this and eliminating the risk. And I don't know that you can totally, because it is so clever, Alice, but it is so essential. It can shut down a company. You look what happened as a result of the Equifax. It's going to be really interesting. So I'd love to get your tips on what you're doing there at Union Home on this front. Are you holding special classes? You're putting certification in there? I mean, what are some things that you're doing specifically?
So we are attacking it on all fronts. The team leads talk about it in the daily and weekly huddles that are held. Every time there is, you know, phishing, of course, our IT department stops a lot of it before it gets through. But, you know, the scammers are always thinking of new ways. So we're constantly showing our teams here visuals. So people need to see the examples of what might get through, and how even some of the more common ones coming from DocuSign, we've watched a progression of the first time that the scammers used DocuSign as an example, it was off and there was about 6 clues that you could have picked up on that it was a phishing email and you should have reported it to your IT department. Then the next, each progression as this was attempted, they cleaned up those red flags so there became fewer and fewer, to where, again, people are busy. Everybody needs to be encouraged to take a minute to look and don't click. Think before you click, send it to your IT department. So the message has to be constant and it has to provide visuals so people can see. And don't assume everybody saw the phishing email, because our IT team stops them before they get very far. And so not everyone was aware of what it looked like. We've had a lot of folks say, I would love to show this to my father, my family, so they can see these visuals and they don't get caught in the scams. So a major component for us is to make sure our team members, our partners, and especially our salespeople are getting the message to consumers. So we're including the messaging to our consumers as well, to our borrowers, in several ways to make sure they don't get caught. So it's constant vigilance and updating. Don't ever sit back on standard training. Keep it updated. So those are my tips.
Very good tips, Alice. Very, very good. Anything else on the legislative front that we need to be aware of?
One quick thing. The House did pass the flood insurance provision. Now, the current...
That's right. I saw that.
The current one is set and covered as part of the budget resolution for the debt limit to keep things open until December 8th. We have to get another bill passed, and primarily this one focuses on inserting the words for private insurance throughout the Flood Insurance Act so that homeowners can be able to go after private insurance. The law right now is very stuck on, in its verbiage, and that you have to use FEMA, especially if you're selling the loans to the secondary market. So we really need these bills pushed. Senate version needs to come out so that it's a match and it can go through smoothly. So encourage your congressman to make sure we can at least get flood insurance through before the end of the year to allow for private coverage. And the other five bills and provisions that we need are still sitting in committee in the House. So, but let's at least get this one moved through. So that's my report.
Good job, Alice. You know, one of the things I like is what the NBA has created for us to be able to track this. I know you do a lot of website tracking for this report, and I thank you so much for it. I encourage people to check out the MBA's Mortgage Action Alliance. You don't have to be a member of the MBA. You can track all this, and you can give your feedback. I've been doing that on that app and one other app, and I got a letter from the President of the United States. I got from our governor. I mean, virtually everyone else, and some of them were really, I mean, literally one person texted me, one of our government officials texted me with the nicest note. And so it really does make a difference if we will use these tools to have our voice heard. And you can go into the websites. And again, you want to listen. A lot of people call me and say, Alice gives so much and it's so quickly. And I said, that's why we've created a page on our website, Lincoln on Lending website. If you click on Alice's picture, it'll bring up all of Alice's reports, just her reports. If you want to go listen to what she said, you can get them all itemized out. And that's true for the whole program. It's a hot topic segment. We break it all out, break it apart so you can listen to the parts you want without having to fast forward. Alice, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Well, we're getting ready to see you in Denver. That's going to be really fun. Got a whole team coming in there, so it'll be fun. Appreciate you and for being here with us. Folks, we're going to be right back with David Bolin of Finastra. Listen to what's going on there.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Finastra is extremely proud to be a key sponsor of the Lincoln on Lending program. Known formerly as D&H, Finastra's global lending division provides end-to-end solutions and innovation to the full spectrum of lenders, including independent mortgage bankers, community banks and credit unions, and even the largest banks globally. Learn more about how you provide an innovative digital experience for your borrowers by leveraging our multi-channel point-of-sale solution, which includes the new MortgageBot Mobile, by visiting our website at finastra.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
We do appreciate our sponsors, and we're grateful to have you as our listeners. Let's get over to Sam Garcia. Sam and I are working on this segment because there's so much to report on, and his website, MortgageDaily.com, has so much information. So what I've asked Sam to do is start giving us a little bit of his analysis on the news, what he's seeing there as a trend. So, Sam, I appreciate you working with me as we just try to tweak this to continue to make this to be one of those segments like all the others that are just so valuable. And you do a great job. They've always been valuable. But let's try a little bit of twist. I'm interested in your analysis on the news that's going on out there, my friend. Good to have you with us. Sam Garcia of Mortgage Daily.
All right. Always good to be here, and I'm glad to present my view of what I see going on out there. One thing I wanted to mention is I saw on social media that Rene Rodriguez, he's a sort of a public figure in the mortgage industry, said he was walking by the Mandalay in Las Vegas 2 minutes before the shooting started. He's okay. Harry Gardner, who's known in the mortgage technology circles, has checked into Las Vegas just before the tragedy unfolded, but he said he's okay. And then Gary Acosta noted that his NAREP members in Las Vegas were good, too, even though that they were at the festival. But nearly 60 people have been confirmed dead from the shooting, and more than 500 injured. So hearts go out to them. A couple of quick headlines. The Federal Reserve issued a report on HMDA data indicating that non-bank share of first lien purchase originations widened to 53% last year from 50% a year earlier. And on refinances, the non-bank share went up to 52% from 48% in 2015. So other sources of data, as we've been reporting, indicating that non-bank share continues to grow. Another headline that I'll mention briefly is Ocwen reached a settlement with 10 states on its servicing, and it calls for Ocwen to stop using its real servicing system on newly boarded loans. Now, you know, after we talked, looked a little bit through some of the stories here, one thing I wanted to note is I've seen quite a bit of data indicating that mortgage lending conditions are really improving. You know, I think we talked about this some last year in anticipation of refinances driving down production, that, you know, lenders will take more risk and try to, you know, figure out ways to do more business. And that's happening. If we look at data from Ellie Mae, that says that FICO scores in August plunged 7 points from a year earlier to 730. So we've seen year-over-year loosening in FICO scores. LTV ratios are up 1%, a percentage point over the last year. And debt-to-income ratios have risen to 25.39 from 24.37 over the last year. So that's some big numbers that we're seeing there. The Mortgage Bankers Association, you know, they put out their credit availability index, and that indicates that it's loosened each month since May. It's at its second loosest level since 2000. Since 2008. And then over at Fannie Mae, Fannie reported that senior mortgage executives it surveyed said that credit standards on mortgages, especially government-sponsored enterprise loans, have loosened as demand has diminished for refinances. CoreLogic reported that its housing credit index, which is a measure of risk on new mortgage originations, was higher in the second quarter than 3 months earlier and 1 year earlier. And average credit scores have gone up 9 points. And then CoreLogic's chief economist, Dr. Frank Nothaft, who many know from his years at Freddie Mac, noted that much of the rise was due to a small shift in the mix of loan types to more investor and condo loans. And then one other report, the ARMCO Mortgage QC Trends report for the first quarter, was up from the prior quarter by 7%. And that's just kind of an indication of, you know, some things where lenders have made loans where there's more risk being, you know, kicked back or something like that. You know, so that's a lot of data out there showing, and all of it pretty much showing that lending conditions and underwriting is becoming more loose, more relaxed. And like, I think, you know, that'll help boost some of the production, certainly not to a level, though, where we were before we started seeing the big decline in refinances. Only other thing I've noticed, of course, is I think I talk over and over about how, you know, delinquency has been improving too. And of course, that goes hand in hand. If you're experiencing less default, you can take a little more risk. And so one kind of goes in hand with the other. And so, you know, like data from the OCC indicates that the non-current rate on mortgages serviced by banks fell to 4.6% this second quarter from 5.3% a year earlier. Also along those lines, Fannie Mae reported that its 90-day delinquency fell to the lowest level in August since December 2007, and over at Freddie Mac, delinquency, serious mortgage delinquency, is the lowest it's been since April 2008. And then Black Knight, they reported that 30-day delinquency rose 3 basis points in August to 3.93. So that's a little bit more recent. That just shows a blip there. But Black Knight said that based on its observations from previous hurricanes, that it expects that the biggest impact from Hurricane Harvey to come in September. So we'll start to see as those reports come out for last month, really more of what the impact was from that hurricane, and then maybe even the following month for the next hurricane that followed. And gosh, we've had a lot of them, haven't we?
It's been something else, man. It's just been low. And then you look at what's going on in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and my heart goes out to so many people. There's just a lot to pull on our hearts these days. Good report. Thank you so much, Sam. We encourage our listeners to check out mortgagedaily.com. Get a hold of Sam at 214-521-1300. Sam, thanks so much for being here with us. Let's run over to Jim Jump. Thank you, Jim, for being a part of our sponsorships and one of our sponsors, Jim Jump of Arch MI.
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about Arch MI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems, through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by Archemy's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archemy.com or archemycu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Appreciate it, Jim, very much. Appreciate our partnership with ArchMI. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is in the house. Good to have you here, Andy. Give us an update on some of the things that are going on, your activities. People always say, I want to hear the Profit Doctor's report. How can I be making more money? How can people be making more money?
I got a bunch of places to go with that.
Yeah, well, you sell more and spend less. You know, you end up with how much money you have in your checking account. It was more than it was last year. That's a good thing. So that is such I mean, I love that question, and I could take the whole show, and you'd be really annoyed with me if I went over my allotted timeline to answer that. But there's tons of ways to answer that. Fundamentally, more revenue, less expense, but that also can mean more efficiency, a better product placement, better market differentiation. There's tons of details around this. There's lean manufacturing strategies driven from quality production ideas that help make things work more smoothly. You want to touch it once, so an application comes in, touch it once, move it to underwriting, approved, and done. If we could just touch stuff once, just think how efficient we would be. And if we're more efficient, we get more done with the same staff, so ultimately we make more money because we spent less money processing files. There's tons of stuff. It's so cool. And I love talking about manufacturing supply chain dynamics around mortgage processing and mortgage origination activity generally, because people say it's not applicable, it's too random, you can't control the borrower, and that's just bunk. That's just flat out not the case. So it's done every day. How do you think FedEx gets their job done? So we can absolutely apply a service industry-based supply chain management techniques to mortgage lending to make it be more efficient. That's what I do. That's what I love. That's what I'm studying to get my doctorate. That's what we do.
That's today, right. I forgot to tell everyone. You are, I mean, we call it the Profit Doctor, but you literally are getting your PhD.
Now is the time to do your forward planning. You got to figure this out. Don't be surprised, because once December 31st clicks around, it's too late. So don't be surprised. Do your year-end cash flow forecast. Go all the way into February. Make sure you got money. Make sure you got your earnings. Identify any dynamics you need to address to make sure your tax implication doesn't surprise you. You may have to pay more, but just the fact of the matter is, don't be surprised about it. So that's an important step. Also, I'm teaching a class starting on Wednesday this week. So if you want to learn more about accounting, we have our four-part series on mortgage accounting. It runs all the way through hedging, hedge accounting, interest rate lock commitment, unrealized gain offset by cost to complete to avoid material misstatement of capital is coming up. We're talking about that exciting topic. I know that just makes everybody quiver in their boots thinking about that. So, but anyway, for the accounting people, it really is important. And it's important to understand it well. So we're going to be talking about that. Register today. It starts on Wednesday. In 2 days, the webinar series begins. Please join us, mba.org. Go to education, webinars, financial accounting, mortgage accounting, loan level accounting. That's what we're going to talk about.
You've done this numerous times. I've gotten to participate with you in times past doing it. It's excellent. Excellent. Everyone needs to sign up for it. Andy Schell, thank you so much. Profit Doctor, soon to be an official doctor. I think it's so awesome that you're doing that. I admire you, friend. Appreciate it. Get a hold of Andy at andy@mbs-team.com with your questions and how to engage Andy in helping you improve your bottom line. Appreciate it so much. Let's run over to John Maynell, who is Vice President of Client Relations at Motivity Solutions, for the KPI of the week. And then we got Alan Pollack coming up for the report on what happened at the digital conference in San Francisco last week. Folks, we'll be right back with after the word from John Maynell. John?
Thank you, David, very much. Great to be here, as always. And this week, we have another underwriting-focused key performance indicator, and the KPI is average resubmits per file. This single measurement can not only help lenders develop consistency in underwriting and optimize departmental processes, it can also guide business users to examine contributing tasks in processing that affect this number. KPIs in practice, and you might say by definition, are constantly on display and updated in near real time, making it much easier to pinpoint however many friction points may be combining to produce a given effect, like number of resubmissions, which can also vary by product type, another aspect that the KPI can uncover, demonstrating once again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will turn it back to you. Thanks very much again.
Appreciate you, John, and the folks there at Motivity Solutions, now part of the Black Knight family. Excited to be adding Black Knight as an advertiser here, too. They signed the agreement. We're working on getting that up and running. Had a conference call last week, so we're really excited about that. Now for the Hot Topic segment, as we've got Alan Pollock to introduce. Alan's been a friend and someone I've known for years in the mortgage industry and the technology space. He's got over 15 years of experience in next generation software platforms, and throughout his career has really instrumental in shaping business and technology strategy and influencing profitability, one of Andy Schell's favorite topics, all of ours if you're a business owner, and creating industry changing products. Very excited to have Alan here. Alan, you're live and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for the great introduction, David, and hello to everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, and the best part is we're going to start having you part of this podcast on a regular basis. We used to do that with Tony Garitano, and then that slipped away, but with all that's going on, we really need to do that. So I'm looking forward to having you join us on the podcast each and every week with a kind of a 1 or 2 minute update on what's happening out there. And then we're talking about doing a whole nother podcast just focusing on nothing but mortgage technology. So that'll be excellent as well. So appreciate you being here. Let's talk about the conference that took place last week. Source Media put on, I believe it was the Digital Mortgage Conference or the Digital Conference. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was the Source Media Digital Mortgage Conference, San Francisco. And it was a very successful event. Most folks that, well, I should say first that the turnout from the prior year was quite large. I would say maybe even double in size. And the technologies and sort of, I would say, the money that has moved its way into mortgage technology and what we're calling digital mortgages today has really begun to rise. And so there's a lot of really unique and innovative companies there. There was a lot of new faces. So a lot of people that I spoke with said that, you know, they saw, and you know, mortgage lending is such a small circle sometimes, that they saw a lot of new people, and a lot of energy has sort of entered the industry, which is really unique. And I even think that there's a nice cross connection between real estate technology and what we're also calling fintech, and some of these things sort of cross connect, but it's going to be interesting to see. But basically the conference, you know, really focused around e-everything. If you put an E in front of it, that really is, you know, sort of what the real conference was about. And there was a lot of companies and folks talking about the borrower experience, connection to the borrower, ways to help improve that borrower experience, helping a borrower to make the process easy. You know, if you were to speak with borrowers, and most people have seen a lot of different numbers in the industry and have probably spoken to borrowers themselves, you'll hear that it's a frustrating process. And sometimes some folks have gone into the digital process and maybe they signed their documents, right, electronically, but it's only a portion of it, right? And so this digital sort of evolvement or disruption is going to continue. But most people are focusing on the borrower. How do we make the process of acquiring data from that borrower much more efficient? And how do we help the borrower move their way into the process? How do you secure that borrower and maintain that relationship? And so there's a lot of really innovative things that people are doing. Everything from taking a picture of certain documents, and those documents are feeding data for the process. So you're almost suggesting to the borrower, hey, is this where you live? Is this your information? Is this validated? And so that experience is much easier. When we speak next time, I have a very interesting piece of information that talks about what happens in a digital minute in 60 seconds. And it's really interesting to see the things that happen, how many people log into Facebook and how many Twitter posts. And so that really does connect within really finance altogether. And, you know, I'll see if I can find some information that focuses on, you know, even how many times people are, you know, checking their bank account online. But that's how connected people are today.
Well, especially after we have an incident that happened with Equifax and we have the breaches, I mean, now we're checking more out of paranoia. Is my money still there? And, you know, it fosters a lot of different behavioral interesting things that are going on. Some of the things I want to talk about, we're seeing a lot of trends towards partnership and opportunities. You might say it's called mergers and acquisitions. I think this is an important area. One of the ones that recently happened is Finastra, which is a combination of both MySys, which was a fintech company in Europe, and DNH, Beach. And those two were acquired. Vista is the name of the, I believe it's Vista, that is the company that's a private equity firm, and they've done an amazing job of buying and investing in technologies right at the right period of time. And so it's interesting that really smart money flowing into the market. And we're going to be working at getting some of their top execs on the podcast to talk about that. So that's one thing we're seeing. Now, what they're seeing that as is two solid companies, and D&H is, I'm not just saying that because they're an advertiser, but their sales have been doing phenomenally well on the mortgage side. I mean, especially in their banks and credit union area, extraordinarily well. And they're growing in their sales in the independent mortgage bankers. But what they really saw, Vista saw, is an opportunity of bringing the two together and having a global footprint on there. Mises was primarily in Europe. And so it was a bit of, can we have a international technology play here, and we'll see what happens, but they're smart people. I listened to a lot of speeches when I was at their tech conference, their user conference in Orlando just ahead of Irma when she rolled through, and it was really interesting. And you and I got to sit down and chat some there, which is really out of that come your participation now in this program and you as a guest. So we're seeing that trend taking place. But also there's another one I'd like to have you talk about that just took place, PC Lender and Fiserv. Fiserv made the decision to acquire PC Lender. And Lionel has gone through quite a journey. Lionel Urban, who we both have known for decades, a very innovative, good technologist kind of guy. He sold once to, was it LSI? Who was it, Alan?
LPS.
LPS, that's what it was, right. Which now is now Black Knight. So talk about that merger and the synergies and what that's about from your perspective. Is this a trend we're going to see more of?
Sure, great question. One is I think it's very similar to Finastra that you were just talking about, where we have these large organizations that do have a lot of capital, and they're interested in trying to be part of the new digital mortgage era. And I think it's more than just, the word digital mortgage. If you take that out of the equation, it's some of these companies have maybe tried in the past to do different things, or they're looking to expand. When you look at the depository institutions like credit unions and banks, membership is very important to them. And so they want to do different things to retain that customer and to provide really good experiences. And so I think the deal between the partnership, actually, between Fiserv and PC Lender, really focuses on core banking. And it helps bring a lot of the efficiencies of the mortgage process that PC Lender has today to their customers. And it also helps with a lot of resources that PC Lender now has access to. Fiserv is a large company, and they have a lot of different areas in which they service. So the relationship is going to be good. PC Lender, I spoke with Lionel Urban actually yesterday, and they are able to now expand. So they're hiring. They have, somewhere north of 15 to plus amount of employees they're looking to add to their staff. So they're looking to really expand and become more proficient in what they're doing. And I think they're going to have a nice relationship with Fiserv customers. And I think the product will evolve over time, especially as we all know, anyone on the call here that knows what it's like to be in the software side of the business, you try and build things and sometimes they don't come, but being able to fine tune what you have for your customers, is success. And so hopefully they'll be geared as well as Finastra in that direction.
Yeah, and you're at the PC Lender and Fiserv conferences going on right now? You're at it right now, are you not?
Yeah, that's right. I'm at the conferences in New Orleans, and I sat in on with their general session this morning and talking with a lot of vendors. Overall, everyone's still talking about, last week's conference. And for the folks here that are partnered with PC Lender, their big focus is how to bring efficiency to the manufacturing process. So very similar to, what Andy had mentioned earlier, even though you may hear a lot of things about the beginning of the process with the borrower and technology making its way to the end of the process with the closing, the whole entire process in the middle is where I think a lot of folks are going to start moving their focus.
Well, I want to get Andy, Alice, and Joe in on this conversation, but I also want to move through the rest of the topic. So if we could, Andy, Joe, and Alice, hang on to your questions, make note of them, and then we'll get you in at the end here, because I think this is important. One of the things we talked about is new technologies. If you could just spend a few minutes covering what you see as some of the new technologies that are moving in, mobile first, not just mobile ready is one of the things, but what was the outtake that you got from the digital conference about new technologies that are showing up?
So you're correct. One of the terms that I heard quite often was mobile first, not just mobile ready. I think a lot of people have talked about mobile, but they just haven't had the chance to get there. So interfaces are being developed that are either mobile ready, so they can be used both on computer, iPads, and mobile, or they're starting on the mobile side. But in addition to that, what I'm starting to hear, and this is, I spoke to, I'd say, about 20 to 25 different people that were presenters and guests at the conference, And some of their opinions were that the slick user interfaces have made their way in. So if, as everyone remembers, a lot of the interfaces in our industry were very simple. But as you're starting to look towards the borrower and help them through the process, the slickness has come. But the technology doesn't necessarily always meet that. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to the next 12 months, to next year's conference, or at least until maybe the technology show in the early spring of next year, where some of these technologies are going to be able to sort of evolve themselves, and partnerships and those relationships will definitely be part of their success. One company that I thought was kind of interesting, David, was a company called Matic Insurance. And so for those of you that know them, Matic Insurance has deep integrations with different insurance carriers, and they have something it's proprietary at the moment and unique. And so they're able to provide that touch point connection with the homeowner and let them search for their own homeowner's insurance. But that's on the front end, part of the origination experience. And so what I thought was kind of unique is that for those of you that are not familiar with TechCrunch, so in the technology world, TechCrunch is a leader in trying to shape the technology world. They try and evolve technology community. They have over 2 million friends or connections and viewers. Wow. Throughout their media. Yep. And they really focus on profiling startups, reviewing internet products, and really breaking technology news. And so out of thousands of people, they have something that's called the TechCrunch Disrupt Battlefield. Out of thousands of people, only 22 startups made the final. Matic Insurance was in those 22, and they lost in the end as the runner-up. And so what was very interesting is that wasn't just in the mortgage industry. That was across the medical. That was across real estate. It was across all different areas. Virtual reality was part of it. So I think the person that won actually created some type of wireless technology for charging mobile devices. So very interesting to see as technology continues to evolve here in our industry. And there's just some really unique, disruptive type of technologies. And as we continue to expand on this segment, as well as the new podcast that we're talking about, we'll try and bring some of these different companies in and really let them tell us what they're doing.
Yeah, it is so important that we expose as much of ourselves. But another company I would like to point to everyone to who's listening to this is check out Lemonade, www.lemonade.com. It is really another one that people that are observing our industry from the outside is looking at as a template. They're doing things differently. They're just looking at our process, and I wonder if we're just so stuck in this in legacy thinking that some of us within the industry that have been here, as long as I have been, for 44 years, we're needing this out-of-the-box type thinking. So check out Lemonade, everybody. I want to check out talking about ServiceLink just integrated with Roostify. You look at Ellie Mae's announcement to buy Velocify. Is there a lot of new entrants coming in as well as a consolidation?
Yeah, there is. And I think that it's a perfect environment for that. There's so many individual components of our industry that can use digital. If you remember, I always talk to folks and I say that, this industry has finally started to adopt technology. It was very paper heavy for so many years. And there was always, our LOS vendors in the industry obviously were our original technology solutions, and they've continued to evolve. But it's more than just having the technology. It's process and procedure that adopt the technology that help to implement it. And so there's regulation that you have to look out for. There's risks. So evolving, these new companies coming in and evolving helped everyone to evolve this digital mortgage process or this more efficient manufacturing process is going to be very helpful. So there's a new opportunity for all types of companies. And I think we'll start to see that over the next 12 months.
Yeah, and I do a lot of process consulting, and I hear people are trying to get people to move beyond their existing process, and I think we're stuck. I think some of these new companies like Lemonade coming in who are just going to absolutely approach it from a completely different, and but they got to sell into the secondary market. They're there. They're
right.
Still going to have to deal with that.
David, if I could just mention, there is one thing that is kind of unique is as everyone's talking about, the cost of originating a mortgage has gone up. And so the process and efficiency aspect hasn't been well recognized yet. So what's going to be a little difficult for some of these companies is that how much more can a lender pay for to manufacture that loan? And so as those costs continue to rise, how easily they can adopt that technology is going to be very interesting to find out. Technology is supposed to improve process, create efficiencies, increase margin, right? Do more with less. So I think as we continue and expand the blog, it'll be interesting to have some of these folks on and even maybe on the lender side and understand where they're coming from the technology side and what sort of their adaptability rate is.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting as we dive into this in a much more
intense way, because it is really so important. Let's talk briefly about some vendor risks, data security. We've recently seen the big breach, well-publicized breach at Equifax. As a vendor, they open a door to creating risk for so many lenders. Talk about that briefly.
When I typed in a URL, actually, just a little bit earlier today, it was for a company. I had misspelled it, just typing it quickly, but the webpage came up and said, this site has been hacked. Right. And so I think if most lenders went to a vendor that way, they would immediately shut the computer down and probably never go back. So, yeah, security is a big issue right now. There are some very good vendors and infrastructure type platforms. If you have your own technology system that you can put into, and that's the Microsoft or the Amazon cloud based systems. And what's great about those systems is not only are they redundant, which is a different topic, but they provide data security at rest. And so as your data is inside of that database, it is encrypted and it is secure so that even if there was a breach, that data, you need that special key or that logarithm in order to unencrypt that data. So that's something very important. But separate than that, I think lenders really have a risk with the different vendors they're working with. And as you know, a topic for the last year or two has been vendor due diligence and the process in which you have to verify and validate the vendors you're working with. And I think not only the orchestration of your vendors, how you're putting your manufacturing process together, but also how secure is that information. And so I think that's an area everyone's worried about. I think there is agency risk there or other areas that you have risk. And so I think that's going to be, there's more vendors that will come out and help. You know, definitely brings us into that conversation, which is a little sticky right now, called blockchain. So I'll turn it back over to you for a moment to just introduce blockchain, and then we'll have a couple notes on that.
Well, yeah, I think the number one thing on blockchain, and there's an article that kind of drives it home, but in the Wall Street Journal today that talks specifically about that. Goldman Sachs explores Bitcoin trading operation. You guys want to take a look at it at the Wall Street Journal, the news alert. It says Goldman Sachs explores Bitcoin trading operation. It is there, this cashless society we've been talking about. And, you know, about the time I get all the gold and silver that I want there, I'm starting to realize maybe that's going to be worthless with what's happening. And we're seeing a lot of initiative towards this. So what talk did you hear at the conference about blockchain and the whole electronic e-money thing?
You know, overall, there are some unique ways that I think blockchain is going to make its way into our industry. There are over 2,000 different bitcoins or currencies in blockchain. And the biggest issue, not all of them will necessarily have a use. They've made their way across, you know, real estate and healthcare and legal and other industries.
Right.
So the adoption will be slow. But the biggest issue is that there's no regulation around it yet. So in order to adopt all of these different currencies and these data transformation type of secure blocks of data, we're going to need some regulation. And so there is a lot of lobbying going on. There is regulation that's being talked about. But more specifically, David, when you look at the mortgage lending process, I think when you look at the process involved today to complete that transaction, right, and the payments that are needed, blockchain has a real significant usage there. One is all your data is there. It's secure. The payment information is there and secure. You know, today, some folks still do certain things by telephone. So that's going to bring not only efficiency, but it's also going to lower costs. And it could even affect a lower cost to the borrower, because if we can, you know, reduce the amount of time and cost it takes to complete the entire transaction, rates and other types of components of the process, or costs, at least at that matter, will be much more efficient. In addition, I think it also will help us cross into the real estate side, the technology equation, with the transfer of information and, you know, having the electronic version, the filing information and the electronic version of the deed, and those transactions will also cost much less and be much more. And that's just two quick examples. I think there's, you know, hundreds, if not even more, types of examples of where blockchain is going to be able to help out. Who knows, maybe someday a borrower will have their own block of data that they supply, and that data has everything that's needed, and it helps, you know, reduce the acquisition. Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to be a part of it.
Well, we're going to be covering that a lot. Let's get out to Alice and then Andy and Joe with some questions. Alice, as you listen to this, you've been really working on e-everything, e-signatures, and we've taken how long an adoption has. I almost adopt some of the cynicism that we hear from Andy occasionally, the prophet doctor, about, you know, the rate at which this is going to happen. What's your thoughts as you listen to this?
Well, as I listened to all the innovation that's out there, and we were at my former employer at Indicom, we had participated in the digital mortgage event. It is a great event. I'm so sorry I missed it this year. But it is a great event to go see what's out there. I realize, at least to me anyway, it seems like a lot of layers on top of your LOS, right? So you started to mention it earlier, Alan, about the cost, right? So my LOS can't do everything I need it to do. It basically becomes like only my system of record because I have to keep adding parts and pieces to it. So when does somebody come up with a way to where I don't need my LOS anymore? This becomes so much more efficient and I have a better way to process and keep a system of record that doesn't need, you know, 10 pieces of software on it to do what I needed to do in the world of technology.
Sure. Well, that's a great question. You mentioned, you know, the Source Media event and what a great event it is. It's actually this year, it was almost like a grand event, the way that, you know, they presented the exhibitors and the way that the demos were ran. So for the folks that are listening, if you haven't had a chance to make it to the Digital Mortgage Conference, it's one that you definitely want to put on your list for next year. But Alice, to answer your question and be more specific, I think that as technology vendors provide more, I wouldn't say end-to-end solutions, but less exhaustive solutions where they cover not only data acquisition, but the validation of data. And they cover the risk and the compliance, which are, you know, based on risk and predictive models that get fine-tuned over time. And then you work with those folks that are looking to acquire those loans. So if you look at what the agencies are doing today, they've already have a process where based on certain risk parameters, based on the data you provide, and other types of information, predictive analytics, they can deem that you don't need to have an appraisal. So Fannie Mae's Day One Certainty or what Freddie Mac is doing, those are programs that are getting to where if you can have an efficient process to validate, verify who you're working with, so fraud and risk are sort of taken care of on the beginning step, and then you can continue that digital transaction, then I think it opens the doors for all types of solutions. But as of today, I think you're right. A lot of solutions are sort of plug and play on top of our core LOS platform.
Very good. Let's run over to Andy, the profit doctor. What's your thoughts, Andy? Because you're using technology to get your PhD much faster than normal. When you think of technology, Andy, especially as it relates to bottom line accounting, you know, any thoughts on all this?
First, just a slight point on what you just said. One of the reasons I can go fast is because I'm old and I've studied all this stuff before. It actually really is difficult. But as it relates to the technology, and I will circle back to Alan some other time on the whole Bitcoin thing, because I think I'm going to have to beg to differ. But because I think we have ACH, we've got plenty of transfer means without trying to build new ones. So but that aside, we're talking about the customer experience, the customer journey, how technology enhances customer process. But, you know, when I look around mortgage banking and I look at how mortgage banks operate, the place where the rubber meets the road is the effectiveness of the originator to generate new applications. And where everybody's running around talking about things like Roostify and all these other cool tools to help originators, but I've yet to see some that are really effective. There's some training courses out there like Zenix and the Core who help the originators be effective in building a referral network, but I don't really see awesome technology around that. And it seems to me that if we're going to be more efficient, we need to have more loans per originator. That would help in addition to the adding efficiencies through the processing foundation because, you know, we just got to do better at it. And it is going to cost more because we have more compliance requirements. But if you could touch a little bit on how do we help originators get more business?
Well, that's a very good point you bring up. And I think that the ways that originators used to get business in the past is much different. We have one, a much more competitive market, right? Rates are pretty much the same, or at least they're very similar. So there's a lot of relationships that have been created. And so you do have originators that have spent years building those relationships. And then you also, you have, I would say, sales techniques, right? So the real type of ways to acquire new business in any industry applies to the mortgage industry as well. And so there's a lot of courses and there's a lot of different ways that originators are training and bettering their process on how to acquire borrowers. Technology definitely helps. I think that they would be doing this regardless of technology. But if you can invite a borrower to participate in a process that helps become transparent, right? I think we've all been a borrower once or twice in our times, and I think having a connection with the process, what's happening and what's occurring is really important. So maybe it's not necessarily speed and efficiency or lowering costs for the mortgage operation, right? It's referral and it's sales techniques and ways that you can help gain more borrowers based on being able to connect them better with the transaction.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
We're going to be covering this a lot in the digital marketing. That answered that question, Andy, in the month of November as we get this. I'm really excited as we're putting together the series of podcasts in November that we're going to be covering. So a lot of focus will be on that at that time. Joe Farr, you've been patiently waiting in the background.
As people push more and more to mobile, are they taking more or less risk with the data?
Great question.
Yeah, if not done correctly, Joe, you're accurate. There is more risk in the process because now you have data, and it's the orchestration of vendors, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, and sort of where does the data go? Each vendor that you work with ultimately has data that's being transmitted. It's being collected on the phone, and that data is then being transmitted to somebody's interface or server. And so once it hits their server, then it has to go somewhere else, and then the next one vendor may talk to the next vendor. So it is a valid point, and it is something that as you're selecting your vendor, part of your due diligence process should be to make sure you understand the retention period of data, where does the data connect and go to, and sort of what's the practice in place to in the company. You know, there are certifications that technology companies look to get, not only for themselves, which covers process and procedure, but in addition, their data centers. And that's information that you definitely want to stay current with. And it's sometimes, you know, it's not even just getting the information up front, but each year you have to review and renew that information because with technology companies, things do change quite often.
So true. We're going to be getting into all of this a lot when we're in the November. You're going to want to do that. In October, we've got some great guests lined up all the way through. But I'm really looking forward to this whole discussion continuing in November in a big, big way. We've had as our special guest, Alan Pollock, who will be joining us each week with a segment on technology and then launching another podcast, yet another podcast on this important topic as we're diving more and more into it. I'll just say this about the whole topic. You got to look at this. It's not just putting technology in the front end. Andy and I know a company together real well that we both worked with together that has done an outstanding job of developing technology and processes on the front side. So I referred a family member into that company to have his loan done there, and he was so impressed with everything that ran up until what section? The underwriting section. And guess what? Ran into a brick wall. Could you fax this? Could you do this? I said, I about threw up when I heard this. This company is still dealing with fax. They faxing, and they spent all this money in the front end, and they didn't fix this one area right here. And I'm going, we're grinding down to this one spot. It's that narrow spot in the glass. We've got to look at the whole pipe. We can't do it. So, Alan, I'm looking forward to having you back and joining us each and every week on this show with a short segment, but then also the podcast coming up. Appreciate you, Alan, being here with us.
Thank you.
And be sure to say hi to Lionel and all our friends there at PC Lender and at the Fiserv Conference. Would you please?
I will. Thank you.
You bet. Folks, we've had Alan Pollock. Looking forward to having him join us again. Next week, October 9th, we've got John Hope Bryant coming on. He's the founder and chairman of CEO of Operation Hope. It is going to be an interesting podcast when you start looking at what we can do as a community. David Matthews, a good friend of mine, is the one that introduced me to John and the whole Operation Hope venture. It's something that you want to be talking about or tune in and you'll be talking about it. Very important. We look forward to the new year and what's happening, especially politically, how we can do to bring more people into home ownership. So tune in next week to listen to John Hope Bryant. Of course, we'll have the regular lineup. I want to say a special thank you to all of our sponsors. They are ArchMI, Motivity Solutions, Velma, Simplifile, Mortgage Collaborative, Finastra. Everyone, thank you so much for being here, as well as Andy, Alice, Joe, Sam, and Alan. Good to have you all with us. Have a great week, everybody. Look forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.